Welcome to Living Waters Church, a community with Jesus at the center, shaped by scripture, dependent on his spirit, following together. For more resources, information, and news, check out our website, lwchurch.ca, and get connected.
Hi, friends. Thanks for joining us today. We are continuing as a community in our series called Acts. Today, we're picking up our story in Acts chapter 9. And just be reminded that all of our series can be found and accessed through our website, and encourage you to pick up some of the that good Bible study from some of our teachers here at Living Waters. Well, today, again, as I mentioned, we're in Acts chapter 9, and we're learning more and more about a man named Saul. His name would eventually be changed to Paul. So what are we learning these last few weeks? What difference does studying Acts make for any of us? We can learn a bunch of facts, but it doesn't necessarily move or motivate us in any way whatsoever. As we've often said, when we read and study scripture, we do first and foremost to learn about Jesus. So therefore, as we continue to appreciate Saul's salvation story, our hope, of course, is to learn about the historical figure of Saul, but most importantly, is to learn about Jesus' love for us and what it means to grow up in the midst of that love and good guidance. For in Acts chapter 9, we are literally watching a gracious Lord show kindness to Saul, who many would call an enemy of Jesus and followers of the way. So again, Acts chapter 9, this chapter kind of pulls back the curtains on how Jesus has so much for us. And it shows us how Jesus responds even to the most vile sinner. For Jesus' grace is on full display here, and he's offering Saul so much. And may we be reminded as well of what he offers us. So again, maybe for the sake of someone who's just showing up here today, let's just zoom out a bit as we again appreciate the narrative of Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, again, we're introduced, and let's just kind of zoom out again before we go forward. We're introduced to a man of high notoriety. His name is Saul. And we catch up to Saul while he's making his way from Jerusalem to Damascus. He's going north to Damascus, about a 200-kilometer destination away. Saul, of course, was known as a persecutor of the followers of the way. And so he's on his way to Damascus with warrants for the arrest of these people. While on this road, of course, in Acts chapter 9, verse 3, it tells us that, again, while Saul was on his journey, translation, Saul was doing his own thing on his way to Damascus. And as much as perhaps his motive would have been in the defense of the Old Testament law and all things he held sacred, his life and his meaning had been enlivened by a lie that had become a truth. And as, again, we would ask ourselves, as we did a few weeks ago, how often do we do our own thing? As followers of Jesus, we're not to be lone wolf types or have an independent mindset or lifestyle. How often do we do our own thing? We ask ourselves that question. Secondly, the question is there lies that have become our truths that are informing our lives in a negative way? So in Acts 9:3, we read how Saul unexpectedly encounters God's magnificent power by way of a light from heaven that flashed around him. Supernatural, the presence of light. This revelation of light, as Rick Watts shared last week, would not necessarily be thought of as uncommon. Certainly, perhaps not for Saul. Through scripture, we see encounters with God that began with the flashing or the presence of bright light that wasn't there but is now there in front of them. And we think about Moses in the Old Testament, Moses at a burning bush. He saw a bright light or a fire that was not consuming the bush in front of him. Moses on Mount Sinai was introduced and was attention was distracted by a bright light or lightning. Daniel had a story. Then at the dedication of Solomon's temple, the shepherds at Jesus' birth, the transfiguration of Jesus. So in many places, as was the case in Acts 9, a bright light shining from heaven was often the beginning of how God made himself known. James picks up on this in James chapters 1, verse 17, where he writes, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting sands." So this bright light from heaven shining would have been so meaningful for Saul. Again, as Rick shared last week, maybe what Saul may have thought at first was affirmation and acclamation quickly turned to something else. For this bright light shining was what God was using to turn Saul's attention off of himself and his ambitions to Saul meeting a very gracious and kind Lord and Savior, who as James described as one who comes bearing gifts. So for the rest of this passage, let's take a look at, again, this passage through the lens of these good gifts that come down from God, come down from this heavenly light, God himself, upon the life, and Saul here, but also upon the life of someone coming to a saving knowledge of who Jesus is. So let's take this approach today. Verse 9, as I said, Saul fell to the ground upon seeing the flashing heavenly light. He fell to the ground. He heard a voice asking him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" I would describe this as the gift coming upon him, the gift of grace. Saul heard Jesus' concerned voice. It's grace. There on the road to Damascus, Saul, this persecutor, met Jesus. Jesus didn't punish him, scare him, confuse him. He offered him grace. John 1:17, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Saul, as we would study his past, would lead us to imagine that Saul understood the law as given through Moses. That was what he was protecting as he was persecuting others. But on the road to Damascus, Saul wasn't meeting Moses or the law given through Moses. Rather, he was discovering grace and truth through Jesus Christ as God was speaking to him on this road to Damascus. "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" was the question that first came to Saul. Saul's response, "Who are you, Lord?" Saul was receiving again the gift of grace. Why? Because it requires grace to declare Jesus as Lord. Saul said, "Lord, Lord," a very noted declaration and confession and admission. It takes grace to, again, declare Jesus as Lord, to get beyond our self-centeredness and to have a vision for a life free of all of our idols and say, "Lord, Lord," or to come to a place in life and describe Jesus as a personal Lord. To come to that place where we say, "You are my Lord, you are my master, you are my owner," which is what Lord means by definition. He was discovering grace, not the law, but grace and truth was coming to Saul on the road to Damascus. What a gift. Jesus' response is, "I am Jesus who you are persecuting." Again, "I am Jesus" was his is what Saul heard, grace. I'm the one who is here now saving you. Even though you're persecuting me, I'm here saving you. Friends, let me just say, when we begin to regularly ask what Saul asked, who are you, Lord? Or what does it mean for you to be Lord of my life? Or what does it mean for you to have ownership of my life? You can be 100% confident that you will hear a response of grace and truth. Again, it's grace and truth. For without a revelation of grace, repentance and lordship will be ultimately avoided. As we have revealed to us how we potentially fall short of the glory of God, when we repent and confess our sin, we will be met with grace and truth. Even secondly, when we are asked by Jesus to answer a similar question that Saul was asked, Dave, Dave, why are you doing that? We will need a revelation of grace and truth to answer authentically. For there is a gift of grace needed for us to say, Lord, and that was being gifted to Saul and will be gifted to us as we make those declarations and confessions. Well, as we heard earlier, a few weeks ago in this chapter, Saul follows Jesus' instruction to continue on to Damascus after receiving this gift of grace. But again, no longer on his own journey in verse 3, but as a follower of the way described in Acts chapter 9, verse 6. So what happens? Once in Damascus, Jesus arranges a meetup with Ananias. Ananias prays for Saul's healing, and after 3 days, Saul's physical sight is returned, and now Saul is spiritually seeing and also physically seeing. Again, the gift of grace to get to know God and get caught up in the supernatural activity of God. Next, we see the gift of belonging. Verse 19, it says, Saul, once in Damascus, verse 19, Saul spent several days with the disciples, again in Damascus. Jesus led Saul into a place of belonging or into the gift of belonging. Saul's conversion involved a full immersion into a new community, spending several days with these disciples. These are, these people that just a few days ago, Saul was coming to arrest. But again, notice the gift that Jesus gave to Saul, the gift of belonging. One of our values at Living Waters Church is we value community because belonging to Jesus means belonging with one another. Our value is worded a little more broadly, but again, this idea of the gift of belonging in community. And friends, Jesus wants each of us to receive the gift of belonging, regardless of our past. Again, Saul's past was vile. Regardless of your past, Jesus invites us into, again, the gift of belonging. For many of us often feel like outsiders, feel unwelcome. We feel and can feel alone or unseen. Let me encourage you by faith to receive the gift of grace, the gift of belonging. And certainly, perhaps if you're newer to our community at Living Waters Church, whether joining online or showing up in person, we value you. We value you as a person, as Jesus does. You belong. We would wish for you the gift of belonging. So encourage you by faith to receive that gift of belonging. Set aside all the all of our tendencies to feel like an outsider and perhaps all of your past experiences. Find healing out of that and towards something else, which is the gift of belonging to community. Modeled beautifully by Saul, he was willing to settle in and receive the gift of belonging. Thirdly, the gift of meaning in verse 20 to 22. It describes in these three verses how Saul began to preaching in the synagogues, talking about Jesus. Promoting Jesus. And verse 22 grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. Think of this. This is peculiar to me. Notice that Saul doesn't wait for perfect theology. He had just become a follower of Jesus. He had just said, but a few days ago, Lord, referencing Jesus' lordship in his life and over his life. We do know, of course, certainly now, that it would take Saul years of consideration and study for him to write a book such as the New Testament book of Romans. So then we ask, at this point in his journey, being a follower of the way, as it says he went out preaching, what possibly could fill the content of this preaching? Well, think about it. Saul preached from his experience or his encounter with Jesus, not his years of experience, but his recent encounter with Jesus. So duly noted, Jesus' great commandment for followers of the way is a call to be what? Not a preacher of theology necessarily, but rather a witness. Be a witness in this world today. So in other words, this commandment for us is to share what we have witnessed. Saul had witnessed on the road to Damascus something supernatural that brought him along to a place of grace and belonging, to now he was sharing of his experience. And we are called to do the very same thing again. He doesn't call or gift many people with the gift of teaching theology, but what he does gift us with is the gift of witness. What matters most for important witnessing is not necessarily what someone says theologically. What really matters is the amount of applied theology or applied knowledge of this experience with Lord, one that can be shared and can be witnessed to. And this is what qualified Saul. He knew Jesus as Lord, and he was convinced and convicted and feeling so called to share what he knew about his experience. So again, Saul received this gift of meaning. Saul undoubtedly had meaning before meeting Jesus. His meaning now was repurposed, and it was reshaped, and it was redeemed, and it was recovered, and it was revitalized because the lie that he had once believed was now uncovered, shed light on, and he had a different source of truth. What we see from Saul's conversion is that he was gifted with meaning. And this is all part of conversion, a calling to Jesus, a moving away from doing our own thing and being a follower of the way, which gifts us with meaning. So again, Saul began to preach in the synagogues in Jerusalem, and our text says as he did, Saul grew more powerful, proving that Jesus is the Messiah. Practically, the word proving means reasoning and connecting scriptures as we go. It means having a wisdom and ability to articulate the connecting of scriptures and tying it to reason and experience. His strength and assurance and this clarity didn't come from isolation, but rather from engagement and opposition. Meaning, of course, that faith becomes more defined when it's shared rather than when it's hidden. Furthermore, the gift of meaning didn't lead Saul to lording over people, but rather led him to serving with humility people, regardless of the personal cost. In verses 23 to 25, we learn how that among the public officials, there was resistance. And it says, Saul learned of their plan. And again, followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. And notice as Saul's influence increases, resistance intensifies, opponents guard the city gates and waiting to arrest him. They get organized. This is very serious intent to do him harm. But the gift of meaning that Jesus gave to Saul was expressed now with newfound humility. All posturing, all pride was set aside. Life is not about posturing and pride when you're a follower of the way. And so Saul allows himself to submit himself to the council of the believers and to accept the invitation as a fugitive in a basket to be lowered down and hence his escape. What a humility to be lowered down in a basket for the sake of serving the Lord and serving others. See, humility as described in the Bible is not about self-depreciation, but a realistic, sober judgment of oneself in light of God's grace and a focus on serving others. So here's Saul, the gift of meaning, allowed him to know who he was, and he knew who he was becoming. It was all because of God's grace, and he was to be an instrument of sharing and witnessing what Jesus was doing in the world then. So our story continues. After being lowered in a basket through the city wall in Damascus, Saul traveled south to Jerusalem, 200 kilometers south. And our story picks up in verses 26 to 30, where we see Saul gifted with friendship. As Saul showed up in Jerusalem, many people were suspicious of who this person was. They had heard of his past. They were concerned and presently felt threatened. But Barnabas steps up and is determined to be in Saul's promotional corner. A critical role, again, considering how suspicious everyone was during those very few, very uncertain days in Jerusalem. What does Barnabas do? He shows friendship. He practices friendship. He brings Saul to the apostles. Saul perhaps never would have got there if he was walking alone. He tells Saul's story. He doesn't argue theory. He shares testimony. He talks about Saul's encounter with Jesus and the subsequent bold preaching that was absolutely transformative to watch as Saul, once a persecutor, a vile offender, was now promoting the Jesus that he just recently was set against. Barnabas does his best to validate Saul's transformation. Friends, sometimes what someone needs most is not a platform to advocate for themselves, but a person who believes in them. We all need a Barnabas, and we need to be a Barnabas, to be people who believe in one another, speak up for one another, recognize the grace at work in each other's lives, putting a name on it, and being encouragers to keep being followers of the way, to be people that open doors for the promotion and open doors for the advocacy of one another. In all our interactions, we can place and be people that deposit words of life, or we can be withdrawals because we're critical and suspicious of one another. We are called to benefit from the shared gift of friendship. So let's be these type of people so we can collectively say we're not simply a friendly church, but we are friends that are followers of the way. So again, the gift of friendship that Barnabas showed led in verse 28 to Saul staying with these people, these disciples in Jerusalem, and him moving freely about, even to the point where at an important part of crisis, it says these friends set up an exit strategy once again. So in Damascus and now in Jerusalem, an exit strategy to send Saul off to Tarsus for his safety and the further promotion of the gospel. And finally, we see the gift of growing in verses 31 and verse 31. The church grew. They were encouraged. There was peace. They were strengthened. They were encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and they increased in numbers. The gift of growing. Jesus brought an increase as, again, God was doing beautiful things as people's lives were being changed and people were invited into all the new things that Jesus was doing. You see, a community full of grace, a community full of belonging and meaning and friendship lays a foundation most naturally for growing. So again, what about us today? It's always so important to take these stories in Scripture and to work very hard at understanding them in their context. But then, of course, understanding them in our context. Most importantly, within our hearts and lives this very day. So let me help apply it very briefly before I close in prayer. The question that, of course, we would ask is, what about our conversion? We've noted these last 3 weeks, Saul, a beautiful, gracious story of the Lord being good to Saul and awakening and leading him along as now a newfound follower of faith and follower of the way. What about you? What about me? What about our present relationship with Jesus? As we shared at the beginning, James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. May our hope for ourselves, may our hope for one another be for us to grow up fully benefiting from the gifts that come down from the Father of the heavenly lights. And may we all benefit from a faith journey that says, Lord, Jesus, you are Lord. It takes grace. It takes mercy to say it. It takes mercy to more and more turn our lives over to the lordship and ownership of Jesus. What helps us, of course, in summary from this passage, is when we do, we find the giftings that are needed for our support and for our growth in Jesus. Again, the gift of grace, the gift of belonging, the gift of meaning, the gift of friendship. And of course, Jesus brings the growth in our life and the growth around us within community. As we close in prayer today, would you join me in declaring Jesus Christ Lord over our lives? And by faith and with curiosity, may we open up our hearts and minds as wide as we possibly can to say, Lord, Father of lights, bring your gifts to us this very day, and may your will be done within our lives. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for revelation. We thank you for the description of you, Father, presenting yourself as heavenly lights, bringing perfect gifts for us. We call you Lord today, simply because of your invitation to know grace and mercy, to be able to admit and confess and share and pray, you be our Lord and Savior. Lord, we know ourselves. We know how we hold back. We know how we resist. We give you our lives today, and we ask for a bountiful gifting of grace, mercy, to lead us along on this path that you are calling us. We pray for a refreshed sense of belonging as followers of the way together. We pray for a refreshment of meaning coming to our lives as we follow you. We pray for friendship, and we pray that you would bring growth within us and growth all around us in a way that brings glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen. And amen.
Thanks for joining today. If you'd like to get more connected or involved in any way, please reach out. We'd love to help. Have a great week.